Blog Talk Radio.
Stop. Stop. Will you stop, Dave? Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
Time for some truth. We're here. It's the Hour of Truth. I'm Dave. You're on Missouri Grassroots Radio. We're going to have a great show tonight. We're going to talk about something that very few people have even considered, and that is the real cost of food stamps. I mean, we're inundated daily by facts and figures about, you know, how much the government spends in food stamps, what the overhead cost of the program is, and we're going to talk about those. But there is a hidden cost to you and me that very few of us ever think about, and we're going to get into that today and some of the tangible costs of the program, not just dollar costs, but tangible sacrifices that the state of Missouri makes because of or as a direct result of the food stamp program. Right now, though, let's talk about some stuff in the news. I expect, do you not, that within the next 2 weeks, we're going to see the president take center stage again on a renewed gun battle. I would expect that we're going to see the president start talking seriously once more about what's going on in Korea. And I would expect that we're going to see the president talking one more time about what's going on in Syria. Do you suppose that Syria has become more important to the president now than it was last week, or that guns have become more important to the president this week than they were in the last 2 weeks when you heard very little about it? No, I don't think so. Do you? So why are we going to see these things happen? Well, in one word, the snake that's rearing its ugly head again and has to be put on the back burner is Benghazi. That's right. The president's threats, the Chicago mobster tactics have failed. The three star witnesses are coming out of the closet. They're going to testify before a select Senate committee, and we're going to be finding out from some people who were there what really happened at Benghazi. So expect to see a lot of flurry, expect to see a lot of ruffles, expect to see a lot of grandstanding in Washington, D.C. in the next 2 weeks as people there try to get out in front of this by obfuscating it, by mixing up the news, by getting the mainstream media focused on anything but the testimony coming out on Benghazi. Now, let's just talk for a minute about food stamps. Before we start tonight's show, I want to say something, and listen up. You can participate here at 347-677-1835. If you got a pencil, I'll say that slow. 347-677-1835. Your calls are welcome. But before we get started, I want to say, everyone who listens knows what my political stand is. I'm libertarian, and I believe that as little government as possible is best. Just like Thomas Jefferson did, just like all the founding fathers did, just like Patrick Henry did. Limited government Now, I recognize the difficulties of living in the socioeconomic, political culture that we've built here in the United States of America. I recognize my libertarian friends the need to compromise. So I am going to say that in our socioeconomic structure, there is room for a safety net. I don't believe we need it. The libertarian in me says leave people alone. It's a proven fact that rich people and poor people give freely. The richer you are, the more you give, both in dollars and cents and as a percent of your income. I believe that Americans can take care of themselves. I believe that if the government got out of the equation totally and let us prosper once more, and we'll talk about prosperity and how to get there in our newest show. We'll be talking about that later. We've got a new series coming up, a new segment of Missouri Grassroots Radio. We'll get to that later. But I believe that could be taken care of. But in the spirit of compromise, I'm going to tell you that in our socioeconomic condition, when we are allowed to prosper, there is room for a safety net. There is not room for government charity becoming a way of life. And we currently live with tens of millions of people who are second generation way of life government welfare recipients and raising a third generation. There's no arguing that. I don't care where you are in the political spectrum. You see it, you know it's there, and you know it's happening. So the food stamp program is part of the Farm Bill, of course, because that allows us to kind of confuse things and keep this money and the costs of it from being totally apparent to the American people. Can't have a food stamp bill. It's got to be part of the farm bill. And recently, in order to kind of relieve the stigma attached to people receiving food stamps, they've changed the name to SNAP. You don't call it food stamps anymore. You call it SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Now, this, like most federal programs, where the bill that the Senate passed today, for example, that taxes the internet, called itself a bill to restore the sovereignty of states by allowing them to collect taxes. So you can see how the titles of these bills and the titles of programs are designed to confuse you as to what the program is. It is, though, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. Supplemental means that food stamps are designed to supplement people who can't quite get there, who try, who have some iron in the fire themselves, and they just need a little supplementing to get there. You and I, if you're as old as me, you do remember in 1969, 1970, when the average individual food stamp benefit was somewhere in the $6.50 range. We're going to get into the actual numbers here before the show's over. Per person, even into the middle 70s, food stamps was a supplemental program. You worked, you had a family of four, you worked one minimum wage job or one and a half minimum wage jobs, and you got an extra $50, $60 a month to help you with your food bill. That was in addition to what you were expected to throw into the pot to buy your food. It was a little help to get you over the bump. You lost your job. then while you were looking for work, you could qualify for food stamps. Your unemployment was going to be a fraction of what you were making. So while you were looking for work for a limited time, you could get food stamps as a supplement to help you get through. Unfortunately, though, food stamps now have become a subsistence. The amount of food stamps that are drawn by the average individual is sufficient to buy all the food that individual eats for the entire month. So it is not a supplemental program anymore. It's a subsistence program. So this should be the subsistence nutrition assistance program instead of the supplemental nutrition assistance program. Now let's look at nutrition. Is anyone aware of any requirement that a food stamp purchase have any qualifier in the way of nutrition? No. In fact, you're aware that it doesn't. I worked for years in a convenience store, and I can tell you now, I understand a convenience store isn't a grocery store, but I can tell you that the vast majority of food stamps that were spent in that store were not in any way spent for nutritional food. They're spent for soda pop. They're spent for candy, spent for beef jerky, spent for junk food, chips. So scratch nutrition from the supplemental nutrition assistance program. And then let's look at assistance. Assistance would be an indicator that someone, for some reason, needs some assistance. Now, we're going to talk here about how this thing moves from an assistance program to a complete subsidy program, from a supplement, as we talked earlier, to a complete subsistence program. There's a couple, it could be a young couple, and one of them is going to school full time. Could be an older couple where the main provider has been somehow laid up, and so the second provider who had stayed home is forced to go get a minimum wage job. But anyway, there's a couple, two adults, no children, living on one minimum wage income. Now, the rules are different for every state, so I've used the Missouri rules. This couple is making $14,560 a year, and as such, they do not qualify for food stamps. Now let's take this $14,560 a year. $3,640 of that is withheld by the federal government. They don't even get that. $4,800 for rent, and that's a cheap rent in Missouri. $1,440 for a used car payment, and that's a used car, and we're not going to even allow it to break down. $1,320 for utilities, $1,500 for insurance, and let's let them go to Goodwill once in a while and spend $300 in the year for clothes. What they have left at the end of the year is $1,560 or $130 a month. Now, with that, they buy gas to go back and forth to work. They buy food. They buy anything else that they have to have. What if the car does break down? They buy trash bags, toilet paper, the things that they need around the house besides food. This is with $130 a month for an adult couple. What does this couple have to do to be able to feed themselves? Quit the job. If they quit the job, they can get $278 a month in food stamps. Do you see how this program has become one of total dependence, where people are encouraged to not work? In fact, it becomes a necessity for some people to not work. That's an overview of how this this program has become so warped. We're going to come back from break, and we're going to talk now about what the apparent costs of the program are. That is, the costs that are right out in the open, the costs that you can see, the costs that you can measure, the costs that you know about in every day, but you may not know all the numbers to. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You can't handle the truth!
Can you talk if you haven't got a brain?
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for grass fire alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
I've got a feeling that the tide is turning.
Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
We're back. So we know that that the food stamp program, and we're going to continue to call it the food stamp program because I'm an old man and I can't make changes as fast as Snap can. The food stamp program has some costs. We know that tax dollars go in. We know that aside from the benefits that go out, it costs some money to administer the program. And I don't want to get boring with lots and lots of facts and figures, but these numbers are important, so bear with us just a little bit. In 1969, 2.9 million people received benefits from food stamps. 2.9 million. In 2012, 46.6 million people received benefits from food stamps. Now, that is an increase of 1,519%. Tell me we didn't go from a safety net in 69 to a way of life in 2012. An increase in food stamp recipients of 1,519%, a 15-fold increase. In 1969, the average benefit per person, that is the total benefits divided by the number of people who get benefits, the average per person benefit was $6.63. If you're having trouble placing 1969, old folks, Richard Nixon was president. The average benefit was $6.63. So for a family of four, this supplemental program paid $26.52. Now, some more, some less. It wasn't the same all over. This is just applying the average to four people. But catch this. In 2012, that number had increased 1,912%, a 19-fold increase, so that the average was $133.51. For a family of four, $533.64. So by 2012, the food stamp program is buying that family's food completely. It's not a supplement program anymore. It's a complete subsistence program. $533.64 a month for a family of four. In 1969, the total national benefits paid was $228.8 million. In 2012, it was $74.6 billion. Now, just in case you get the M's and the B's mixed up, in 69, $228.8 million. In 2012, $74.6 billion. A 32,513% or 352-fold increase. I'm going to say that one more time. In 1969, food stamps paid out $228 million. In 2012, $74 billion. In 1969, the administrative cost of the program was $21.7 million. In 2012, $3.8 billion. Now, in tax year 2012, just tax year 2012, 136 million individual tax returns were filed. You filed one, I filed one, everyone listening filed one. You got your pencil, it's 347-677-1835. 136 million individual tax returns were filed. Of these tax returns, 91 million had no tax liability. So of the 136 million individual tax returns, 91 million had no tax liability. They paid no tax. Some of them got more back than they paid, but 91 million people paid no tax. That leaves 45 million people who actually paid federal individual income tax. Now, doing the quick math, the average cost of the food stamp program to the individual taxpayer is $1,682 a year. So, one individual taxpayer, now, and as an average, again, I didn't pay that much for food stamps. I barely paid twice that much in total taxes. But so, you know, Mitt Romney took up the slack for me. But the average was $1,682 per individual taxpayer, meaning that the individual taxpayer, one individual taxpayer, pays for one, two, three families to receive food stamps. Wow, that's pretty amazing. This program has absolutely gotten out of control. Now, don't go out and say, one more time, that Dave wants to throw Grandma off the cliff, or that Dave wants the poor veteran with PTSD who can't function in society to starve to death, or that Dave wants this family of two adults who can't get any assistance right now to not get any assistance. But I'm going to tell you right now, that couple we talked about, I would much rather see them get some supplement to their $130 a month than see a lot of the families that I see using food stamps in the local grocery and convenience store getting anything. Wouldn't you? I mean, we've got a second generation of Americans who can't even be bothered trying to support themselves. Meanwhile, those of us who do support ourselves are paying $1,682 per individual income tax return to buy their food. Now, these are the real costs of the program. And they've grown astronomically as the dependence of the public has grown. Meanwhile, administration after administration is carrying on food stamp outreach programs where rather than trying to figure out how to make people more self-sufficient, rather than trying to figure out how to encourage Americans to take care of themselves the way Americans were intended to do, rather than weaning people of food stamps, the government is actually going out to bingo halls and churches trying to find people that they can sign up for food stamps. Our governor has bought off on the federal outreach program. And in Missouri, at the churches that will allow it, at the bingo halls, people can go to a table and get all the information that they need to sign up for food stamps. There are messages and encouraging words and advertisements to lure people onto the food stamp program. Not only does this create more dependence, but it makes it perfectly legitimate for those second generation people to be where they are. It makes it perfectly all right. Now, I was anti-Obama before being anti-Obama was cool, but I want to say there's plenty of blame to go around here. When President Carter came to office, the total food stamp payout in our country for 1977 was $5,067,000,000. When he left, he had managed to double that to $10,629,000,000. So from $5.1 billion to $10.6 billion, that's Carter. Now, in comes Reagan, and there's a little meltdown. Now, the economy got great under Reagan. People got jobs. And so under Reagan, with unemployment at record lows, with more people working than ever before, there was still a significant increase in food stamps from $10.6 billion paid out in 81 to $11.6 billion paid out in 89. So that's actually an inflationary growth. When Bush won, the favorite of quote-unquote conservatives came into office, we were spending $11.7 billion. When he left office 4 years later, we had doubled that to $22.1 billion. So Bush won in 4 years, took us from $11.6 billion to $22.1 billion. Now, I have the breakdown here for what the Congresses looked like during these periods, but listen, the president vetoes or passes budget bills, farm bills, specifically. Now listen, say whatever you want to do about blame passing, but along comes a Democrat who starts talking about programs for welfare to work, and under Bill Clinton, food stamps use payouts in this country decreased. Listen to this. In 93, he took over a food stamp program paying out $22.1 billion. And when he left office 8 years later, he had taken that down $6.5 billion to $15.5 billion. So Clinton went from $22 billion to $15 billion. Bush, too, another conservative favorite, Sean Hannity's boy, took it from $15.5 billion to $50.3 billion. Bush Jr. from $15.5 billion to $50.3 billion. Barack Obama in 4 years, $50 billion to $74 billion. So Newt Gingrich calls Barack Obama the food stamp president, and quite frankly, if he's on track to actually beat Bush, Bush increased food stamp payouts by $35 billion in 8 years. President Obama has done so by $24 billion in four, so he'll hit $48 billion in 8 years. It's insane. It is absolutely insane the amount of money we continue throwing out to people who can't imagine any other way to live but to suck the tit of the rest of the Americans. Back up. I'm not throwing grandma off the cliff. I'm not killing the poor disabled vet. I'm compromising with you and saying there is room in this country for a safety net. There is room in this country for a supplement for people who can't help themselves. You know, grandma, if she's 80, is living probably on $350 a month Social Security. Well, sure. I'm going to go ahead and let you have that there's room in our socioeconomic structure to do something to supplement grandma's food bill. But a family of five with a deadbeat dad and a deadbeat mom who may or may not be using drugs or abusing alcohol, may just be lazy and sitting around the house with a remote control all day, with three kids who make no effort to earn any kind of living, ought to be cut off and cut off completely. We cannot go on spending $74.6 billion a year to feed people who can't even bother trying to help themselves. Now, these are clear costs of the food stamp program. They're right there. They're in. If you want where these numbers came from, go to Facebook. And at Facebook, go to Missouri Grassroots Radio. That's three words, Missouri Grassroots Radio. It's a page. And I will always put there, every show, the sources for where my information comes from. So if you go there tonight to Facebook, Missouri Grassroots Radio, you'll find where all these numbers came from. They came right from the government. They came right from the census, from the Department of Agriculture, or from the Internal Revenue Service. So you can go there and double check me. Every one of these numbers is accurate. When we come back from this next break, we're going to get into that hidden cost, that cost you probably haven't thought about. I'd be interested in hearing from someone at 347-677-1835 about what they think some of the hidden costs to the state of Missouri are of the food stamp program, and why the sudden increase in food stamp recipients is causing problems for the state of Missouri. Give me a call at 347-677-1835 and weigh in on that.
You can't handle the truth!
They told me that you had gone totally insane. And that your methods were unsound. Are my methods unsound? I didn't see any method.
market capitalist Missouri business owners? Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@missourigrassrootscoalition.org for details.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
So here we are in Missouri. Here we are in the state of Missouri. And we've got this massive federal program that's pumping dollars into Missouri families and taking care of feeding Missouri families. And let's just pretend that the entire cost of this program in both benefits and overhead is funded by grant, by a block grant from the federal government. We know that it's not. We know that we have some direct costs in the food stamp program. But let's pretend that the program works the way it was intended to work. And let's just pretend for the sake of argument that the federal government pays 100% of all the benefits and 100% of all the costs of administering the program to get food money into the hands of Missourians. In 2012, 441,600, that's 441,626 households in the state of Missouri collected $1,462,000,000 plus a few dollars. 441,600 households collected $1.46 billion in food stamp benefits. That's an average household benefit of $276 a month. Now, that doesn't equate to what we talked about a while ago, because we talked about a family of four. Some of those are families of two. Some of them are single people. Some are families of four, five, six, making $600 a month off of the program. But that's all money coming from the federal government. That's all money that we've already talked about. That's all apparent, open, identifiable costs. Anybody guess for one moment what the cost to the state of Missouri is for that $1,462,076,000,000 worth of food stamps expended? Well, what is it, someone tell me, what is it that food stamp buyers, that food stamp users don't do that you and I do? Anybody? They don't pay sales tax. So, $1,462,076,136 worth of groceries sold in 2012 were groceries that were sold without the state of Missouri collecting a penny of sales tax. In 2012 alone, that means the state lost, and I'm using just the flat state tax on food to calculate this. The state lost $36,186,384.36 in sales tax. Let's round that off to $36 million. $36 million. I'm writing that down because I've $36 million in unrealized sales tax from the purchases of food by food stamps in the state of Missouri. Now, I'm not contending that food stamp eligible people ought to pay sales tax. What I'm saying is that because the huge, huge percentage, the huge majority of people collecting food stamps today should not be collecting food stamps today, Missouri has taken a whack in sales tax. In 2008, there were 312,476 households collecting food stamps. That's in 2008 when Governor Nixon came to work. In 2012, that had grown to 441,626. Now, these are households, not people. Households. 312,000 to 441,000. The increase in 4 years. The amount of money paid out in 2008 was $810,471,000. So $810 million. In 2012, $1,462,000,000. From 2008 through 2012, the four Nixon years, the total lost sales tax was $153,631,000 plus a few dollars. $153.6 million. I want to put that in a little bit of perspective here, just for a second. The 2012 Missouri budget that was approved by the legislature was $23.2 billion. The legislature approved a budget of $23.2 billion. Remember that? We talked about that toward the end of the last session, right here on Missouri Grassroots Radio. A couple of nights we railed on that. The 2012 budget was $23.2 billion. Revenue shortfalls required that budget to be cut. And those cuts included this. Just bear with me for a minute. $14.9 million from universities was cut from the 2012 budget. $1.9 million from community colleges. $8 million from elementary and secondary school transportation, school buses. $6 million from the judicial branch. $3 million from college scholarships. $2 million from the Department of Corrections. Now, I'm not saying those particular cuts should or shouldn't have been made. There's not an argument there. Those are cuts that got made. There may have been other cuts I could have talked about tonight, but I just picked these. $14.9 million from universities, $1.9 million from community colleges, $8 million from school buses, $6 million from the judicial branch, $3 million from college scholarships, and $2 million from the Department of Corrections, total $35.8 million. Anybody remember when I said the shortfall or the indirect cost to Missouri sales tax revenue was as a result of food stamps? We've just cut $35.8 million from schools, the Department of Corrections, and the Judicial Department. $35.8 million. That cost we talked about a moment ago was $36 million. So, with that collected sales tax, we could have left that money at the universities, left that money in the community colleges, left that money in the school buses, left that money in the judicial branch, left that money in the college scholarships, and left that money in the Department of Corrections. Once again, you can come along if you want to and argue, no, we shouldn't have left the money in the Department of Corrections. We should have left more money in the... I don't care. I picked some numbers because these are the real, tangible results of not collecting $36 million in sales tax from the food stamp industry in this state. the situation is becoming unsustainable. And from a government that continues to harp about sustainability, it's unfathomable to me that we can continue down this road. I mean, one of the most despised, definitely not the worst Democratic president in my lifetime, but one of the most despised Democratic presidents in my lifetime, managed to get a handle on this. We may not like the guy. We may think the guy is a slug. But we talked about Clinton being able to actually reduce in his time with a welfare to work program the ability to take the food stamp expenditures down in real dollars. There's absolutely no reason why we can't get on something like that one more time. I mean, the program is out of control, and it's costing Americans in real visible dollars, and it's costing Missourians in tangible government service. Let's fix that problem.
You can't handle the truth.
There's a conflict in every human heart between the rational and the irrational, between good and evil. It does not always triumph. Sometimes the dark side overcomes what Lincoln called the better angels of our nature.
This is the Grassroots Minute. After the Missouri Department of Revenue denied for weeks that public information was not given to the federal government, the Missouri Highway Patrol admits it gave the feds list of concealed carry permit holders. But the Social Security Administration, who requested it, couldn't access the information. Under Missouri law, that is private information, Missouri Senator Kurt Schaefer said. The sheer fact that the feds couldn't read the information makes the situation no better. The revelation of the information being given to the federal government has come weeks after lawmakers first began questioning the Department of Revenue's new driver's license system, which went into effect before the lists were released. The department has repeatedly denied in hearings at the Capitol that private information has not been shared with the federal government. Public Safety Director Andrea Spillers told the Senate committee that Schaefer chairs that there was no attempt whatsoever to conceal the information. Schaefer says it has taken weeks to get the information. The hearings are expected to continue. During a break in the hearing, Senator Schaefer said there could be questions of competence in state agencies and of concealing the truth. The agencies involved fall under the purview of Governor Jay Nixon, a Democrat. I'm Terry Varner for the Grassroots Minute.
So, in the state of Missouri, the food stamp program has directly cost you $14.9 million to universities, $1.9 million to community colleges, $8 million to school buses, $6 million to the judicial branch, $3 million to college scholarships, and $2 million to the Department of Corrections. Are you ready yet to do something about that? Your legislators on both houses, who are raving that they are conservative, that they are Tea Party, that they are on your side, are tripping over each other to support this farm bill. Are you going to write them? Are you going to call them? Are you going to do anything to get this thing under control, to hold them responsible for this situation? My bet's no. Missouri Grassroots Radio is an ongoing program. Monday night's Hour of Truth is only a small part of the picture. On Tuesday night, everybody's favorite conservative comes along, Miss Cynthia Davis. She is both entertaining and intellectually stimulating. She's got a show called Homefront where she details how the state of Missouri and the federal government are attacking your family and your family's values. Then on Tuesday night, the culture vigilante Lisa Payne Nager, on Wednesday night, the culture vigilante Lisa Payne Nager comes along. Lisa's show is always exciting, always interesting. She has it's kind of a different format than Cynthia's, who usually has one guest and centers her show around a topic. Lisa usually has three or four different things going on, bang, bang, bang. It's a really fast-paced show. It's a great show to listen to. Lisa deals a lot with education and homeschooling. She deals a lot with the things that are affecting the culture in American society. She's a homeschooler herself and well worth a listen. Lisa also blogs at the St. Louis Examiner as the culture vigilante. So pick up on that. Thursday night, Kevin Harney comes along with his always entertaining Hillbilly Logic Hour. And then beginning this week, I am absolutely excited. On Saturday nights at 7 o'clock is the premiere edition of the Fair Tax Show. You want to come along for that. I've been involved in several discussions over the last two or three weeks with people, both in person, in Facebook discussions, over the internet chats, over the phone, with people about the fair tax. And it's becoming increasingly apparent to me that we have a lot of people speaking both for and against the fair tax who don't really grasp all of the ins and outs of what the fair tax is about. And so we're going to start this series on Saturday at 7 o'clock, and we're going to use as our text, and as we should, the fair tax book. If you want to follow along, and if you want to get the text, go to Barnes & Noble. It's $14 in my store. I don't know what it would be in your store. You might. I'm just saying that's what I paid for it at Barnes & Noble some years ago. I was down there this week to look for the I've lost my version, my copy of Part 2, which was Fair Tax Taking on the Critics. But also by Bortz and Linder, and I'll have to get another copy of that before we move into that. But we'll be using the Fair Tax book as our text. We'll move through it, and that'll probably take us about 6, maybe 8 weeks. If there is sufficient interest in the show beyond that, we will carry on with it. I would love to have a hourly show every week for the rest of time where we just sit around and we talk with people about the fair tax, where we bring people into the fair tax fold, where we have intellectually honest debate about the pluses and minuses of the fair tax. But if there's not a lot of interest, I'll be watching how many people are listening. If there's not a lot of interest, we'll just let it go at that instructional series. And that way, we'll always have that to point to when people have questions or seem during conversation to be confused about what the fair tax really is. But we'll outline it. We'll talk about it. We may, at the end of that text, go on to the second part two, answering the critics. But there is some legitimate criticism of the fair tax. I haven't heard any of it come up in any of the discussions I've had, but we'll confront that truthfully. We'll do away with the bullshit kind of objections that I have heard in the last couple of weeks, and take care of those. But we'll deal with the fair tax. There's a lot of misunderstanding about the fair tax. There's a lot to be said about the fair tax, and it's time to resurrect that as a major issue of discussion. So I'm really excited about that. We'll be getting into that on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock. So join us for that. And then, of course, next Monday I'll be back with another edition of the Hour of Truth, and we'll take it from there.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
Okay, I want to, in the last couple of minutes that we have left here, I want to springboard off that last promo. Last year, I personally was touched by the generosity of our listeners, many of whom aren't even steady members of Missouri Grassroots Coalition, but just listeners to the show. We had a goal, and we in this Secret Santa thing, and we ended up doubling it through the generosity of you listeners. Now, what are we talking about here? It's only barely May, and we're talking about Christmas. Well, it's like this. We try to start collecting for the Secret Santa in late January or early February because we get it that November and December are the worst times of the year for us to come begging you for money. We don't ever ask for money for anything else here. We don't ask for money to do anything that Missouri Grassroots Coalition does. We don't ask for any membership dues. We don't ask for any kind of money for political activity. We don't ask for any kind of money for overhead. We only ask for money for one thing, and that is the Secret Santa. It's a program where we go out, and I know you all know what Secret Santas are. We're not the only people in the world who do a Secret Santa. But what you do is, if you don't know, is we take a chunk of the money that you've given us, and we go to a store. And when I say a chunk of the money, I mean I take a chunk and and someone in St. Louis takes a chunk, and someone in Kansas City takes a chunk, and someone in Jefferson City takes a chunk, and we spread it out through the state. And we go into a Walmart or a Kmart or a Target, and on Christmas Eve, we find a layaway or layaways that has not been paid off. Those are toys that, for some reason or other, the parents put on a layaway, and then something came up, and they couldn't or didn't go get the toys out of layaway. We don't ask the politics of the person involved. We don't ask the reason that they didn't pay off the layaway. We just pay it off. We have the store call and say, hey, come and get your layaway and take it home, wrap it up, put it under the tree for your kids. It's just is that simple. It just is also this simple. There's no overhead. There's no advertising. All the advertising we do is this radio thing where I beg you to send us money. There's no advertising. There's no cost. There's no salaries. No one pays for the gas that we use to go down to the grocery or to the department store and pay off the layaway. There's zero overhead. 100% of every dime that you send us for Secret Santa goes into that Christmas Eve buy. So we come to you throughout the year. And maybe you can give us $5 this month and $5 next month. Maybe you can just give us $100, but you can only do it in April when you get your income tax refund. Maybe you can only pay us in, you know, July when you get your birthday money from grandma. Whatever it is, we want to leave that door open for you all year, knowing that in November and December, when it's crunch time, you've got your own Christmas, you've got your own Thanksgiving, you've got your own family, you've got the angel tree, you've got the toy for tots, you've got the red buckets, you've got everything else coming at you. And hopefully, sometime 6 months ago, you will have already taken care of the plea that we sent you here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition for the Secret Santa program. Do it tonight. Do it right now while we're talking. You can open another window in your computer and go do it. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. That's Missouri. You know how to spell that. Grassroots Coalition. It's all one word, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. When you get there, there's a tab at the top that says Secret Santa button. You can use PayPal. That lets you use your credit card. There's an address there if you don't like sending money through a secure internet connection that you can send a check or money order. And that money will go to the most worthy cause I can imagine. I'm telling you, I got to participate in the Secret Santa this year. I took a chunk of the money that you folks sent us down to Walmart. And this one story, I used it to pay off three different layaways, but this one story will stick with me forever. And I hope it means something to you. There was a layaway there. I had bought off two layaways, and I had a little bit of money left. And there was a layaway there where, what this parent was doing, but there was one doll. I want to think that for some little girl, that was the only toy she was getting for Christmas. There was nothing else in this layaway but one doll. It was a $35 doll, but it was just one doll. The mother had made three payments and then stopped paying. Who knows? We didn't ask. Is the mother a drug addict? We didn't ask. Did she lose her job? We didn't ask. Did someone get sick? We didn't ask. But she had not been back to cancel the layaway and get her money back, even though she hadn't paid in 2 months. So we went ahead and sprung that doll and had her called so she could come down and get that one doll to put under the Christmas tree on Christmas morning. That's it. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Click on the Secret Santa button. Go to PayPal. Send us a couple of $3. Come on. You can afford it this time of the year more than you can afford it in November and December. Don't put it off. Do it tonight. We've talked about Missouri Grassroots Radio. We've talked about Cynthia on Tuesdays. We've talked about Lisa on Wednesdays. We've talked about Kevin on Thursdays. And we've talked about our new show, The Fair Tax Show, beginning premiering this Saturday night at 7 o'clock. I'm Dave. This is the Hour of Truth. We've wrapped up quite a long talk tonight. I hope we didn't bore you too much with all the numbers, but I feel like they were important. Do you got it in you? Do you got it in you to hold it against a Republican for backing this farm bill? Do you got it in you to say when it's re-election time to Roy Blunt and Billy Long, and I name him because he's mine, and your Republican quote-unquote Tea Party representative in Washington, that we're tired of this? Do you have it in you? Do you have it in you to do your part to fix this? I hope so. I really hope you do. We're not going to turn a corner until we take care of things exactly like this. Aside from the tax dollars that go out from Washington, D.C., your tax dollars, your money, your hard-earned money, there are these tangible costs to the state of Missouri that we've detailed tonight. If you're just joining us, go pick up the podcast. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Click on the MGC radio page and listen to the podcast of this show, and you'll be absolutely stunned to find out what the food stamp program costs the state of Missouri. I'll be back with another Hour of Truth. Good drones willing, on next Monday night. If the drones don't come, I'll be here. I'm Dave. This has been the Hour of Truth. You're on Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. Good night.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.